Now let's continue on. Come to Psalm 92 and verse 11. Psalm 92 and verse 11. Now, we can know this when we think on it ourselves, but this is the thing that they're going to have to learn during the millennium. In spite of everything with God being there, and all the family of God, and all the sons and daughters of God running and administering the kingdom of God, it gets down to this: without God, see, verse 11, the Lord knows that the thoughts of man, that they are vain. That's just the way that it is. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Now let's come to Psalm 62. This is quite a psalm. Now what it does, it gives the solution and then declares what the problem is. So what we're going to do is come to verse 9, Psalm 62 and verse 9, and we are going to look at what the problem is, and then we will look at what the solution is. Okay? Verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. How true that is. When weighed in the balance of judgment, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Now, let's come back here to verse 1. Verse 1. Here is the solution. Only for God does my soul wait in silence. From him comes my salvation. See, there's going to be salvation given to the whole world, and it's going to come from God. All of them are going to have their choices they need to make. Notice. So this is the attitude that we need to have now so that we can continue to learn how to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding and be able to teach and rule during the millennium when we're in the kingdom of God. Okay? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against man? You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. That is the way that things are in the world today. They only consult to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. That's the way it is in the world today. Well, they won't have leadership like that during the millennium. My soul wait in silence for God alone, and will be there. When they cry out for help, we'll be there. When they start to go the wrong way, we'll say, this is the way, walk in it. And just think about what it's going to be like every Sabbath. The things that we will teach, the things that God will teach us so we will learn so we can teach them. What a magnificent thing it is going to be. Remember, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. All right. Verse 6. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my high tower. I will not be moved. Yes, today we all need to have our hearts fixed for the way of God, and teach all of those in the millennium that way. And God is my salvation and glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And we'll think on that. Meditate on that. And that's how it is going to be. Now for us today, here Psalm 61 has a good message for us, see, because we have not yet attained to the tabernacle of God. We have not yet attained to our new spiritual being. Verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than me. See, that's why we go through the things that we do, so we know that everything comes from God. for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower against the enemy. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. I will take refuge in the hiding place of your wings, Selah. So yes, all of these are here to show us that we can count on God, that we are going to make it into the kingdom of God. Listen, there are a lot of people who really need to understand how great the calling is, see? Too much of it has been downgraded to a religion compared to the religions in the world. But that isn't true. This is the way of God. These are the ways to eternal life. And it's in the truth and the life and through Christ. All right, let's continue on here. Okay, now let's come to Hebrews, the second chapter. And we will see that Jesus paved the way for us. We will see how great it was that Jesus did what he did. And for us to be in his kingdom, for us to qualify through him, through his Spirit, through the righteousness of God, through God the Father, through the greatness of God. Yes. All right. And so let's remind ourselves of what it is here that God is doing for us. Now notice, let's just come here to Hebrews 1 and verse 1, because these are tremendous verses. And brethren, just think about all of this, what Christ has done for each one of us in particular. You see, when we repent and are baptized, and our lives are put under that watery grave, God is doing it for us individually, each one of us. Now, that's a tremendous and fantastic thing. We're not like the world, the herd and the mentality out there, and all of the important ones, and only the elite are the ones that are worthwhile. But let me tell you something, to God, we will be the elite in the world that is coming. Verse 1, God, now he's talking to the Hebrews, he's talking to those who have known God, who spoke to the fathers at different times in the past and in many ways by the prophets, has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And remember what we covered yesterday. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that means we will share in all things. That means we will share in the universe. We will share in the greatness of God's plan through all the ages of eternity. And we will be the only church of the firstborn. Now think of that. Let's go forward here. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being the brightness of his glory. And remember, Jesus said that the children of the kingdom shall shine as the sun, and the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having been made so much greater than any of the angels, inasmuch as he has inherited a name excellently superior, exceedingly rather superior to them. And we are going to be given a new name. That's going to be something. Yes, indeed. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, this day I have begotten you? And what does he say of us? We are the sons and the daughters of the Almighty. Think on that. And again, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. And again, when he brought the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Now notice what Jesus did to make this possible. Come down here to verse 8. But on the other hand, the Son, he says, your throne, O God, so Jesus is God, is into the ages of eternity. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And that's how the kingdom is going to be ruled. In love and mercy and kindness and goodness, all of the things concerning the love of God and for the greatness of mankind to enter into eternal life. And that's going to be our full-time job. Boy, that's going to be something, isn't it? No more have to fight the world. No more have to fight the evil that is around. No more have to have so many problems and trials and difficulties come. We won't have them. We will be with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, and we will be given the kingdom to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years and then on into the ages of eternity because of what Jesus Christ did right here. Now notice, verse 9, you loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And you see, one of the keys to overcoming sin is to learn how great sin is, how evil sin is, and to hate it with the pure hatred of God against evil. Okay, let's go on. Because of this, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. All right, now, sits at the right hand of God. Now then, chapter 2. For this reason, it is imperative that we give much greater attention to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should slip away. For if the word spoken by angels was enforced without fail, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first received when it was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also, bearing witness with them by both signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And the end result of all of that is the Word of God that we have today. And isn't it something that God has made available in the greatest number his Word to this world? Because there needs to be a witness to all nations before the end comes, and we're part of that. Okay, verse 5. For it is not to the angels that he has placed in subjection the world that is to come, of which we are speaking. No, it is in subjection to the sons of God, not angels. But in a certain place, one fully testified, saying, so here is the Septuagint version of Psalm 8 where we began. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You did make him a little lower than the angels. That is true, we are lower than the angels. But the Hebrew says lower than God, because the angels do not have the potential that we do to become the sons and daughters of God in the way that we are going to be. You did crown him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that was not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subjected to him. Why? Because Christ had to pave the way first. He, through the Passover, had to make it possible. And remember this, none of the plan of God is possible without beginning first with the Passover. Let's continue on here. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, yes, made flesh, tabernacled among us, crowned with glory and honor on account of suffering the death. Now, I want to stop here and just draw to your attention this. When we are baptized, we are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, crucified with him, conjoined in that watery grave. And that covenantal baptism, and that covenantal pledge, and our faithfulness through the Spirit of God is what we need to look to, because We need to change and grow and overcome every day in every way that we can. We see Jesus, yes, on account of suffering the death, in order that the grace of God, by the grace of God, he himself should taste death for everyone. Now, when we are baptized, that is a symbolic death into Christ, and that we are to live in righteousness so that at the resurrection we will be like him. And you see, this is what is going to be necessary for the kingdom of God to function on the earth and to really help the people and change and grow and expand the plan of God. See? So we all have a personal part in it. Let's go on. Because it was fitting for him for whom all things were created and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now then, take this, and if there are things we have to suffer through, let's remember the suffering of Christ, and let's remember that whatever we suffer is nothing compared to what Jesus suffered. And he did it for us. Now notice, here's the reason, verse 11, for the plan of God, to get it out and complete it. Verse 11, for both he who is sanctifying and those who are sanctified are all of one through God the Father. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren and tell us, inherit the kingdom. That's really something. That is great for us to know and to realize and to understand this. Okay? Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, in the midst of the church I will sing to you. And again, I will be trusting in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. So that's quite a thing, brethren. Jesus came to do that for us. Now, let's look at something else that we need to understand concerning this. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 4th and the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th and the 5th chapter. Very important for us to realize as we come through these things. Now for us too, as long as we have the law of sin and death in us, and as long as there's still this age going on, we have some things that we need to understand and carry out the way it needs to be. Okay. Now Paul said here concerning what he was doing, the treasure that we have in the earthen vessel, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, now, verse 12, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 12. So then, on the one hand, death is working in us. That is, the Apostle Paul and those serving. Death was working in them to help bring life to the church. In other words, working themselves the way that they did, dedicated to God the way that they were. Okay? On the other hand, life is working in you, and having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead shall also raise us through Jesus and shall present us with you all together. Now then, let's understand, brethren, that the things that have been done, and look at the past. Look at everything that has been done in the past. Going clear back to all of the prophets, all of the kings, all of the things that took place when Jesus was here, all the apostles, all the ministers there that were with them, down through time, down to our age. And let's understand that what we're doing, we're able to do because everyone has done all of those things before us, so that we can have the Bible, we can have the truth, we can have the knowledge, we can have the understanding. So, and here's how Paul looked at it, right here, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the abounding grace may cause the thanksgiving of many to overflow unto the glory of God. For this reason, we do not lose heart. So don't let any of the trials and problems and difficulties you're going to be confronted with as we go down through time preparing for the kingdom of God. And many of us are going to cross the finish line into our place of safety, the grave. All right? For this reason, we do not lose heart. But if our outward man is being brought to decay, don't worry about getting old. Don't worry about getting weak. God is not going to abandon you because you're old and weak. That's all part of his plan. He knows that it's going to be that way. Yet, here is the key. Because this can happen at any age, in any circumstances of your life, if you yield to God. Yet the inward man is being renewed, notice, day by day. For the momentary lightness of our tribulation is working out for us an immeasurably greater and everlasting fullness of glory. Why? Verse 18. While we consider not the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Always having our mind focused on that. That's why Jesus came. That's why we are here today. That's why God has given us the understanding of what we have today. He is working in us. He is preparing us. He is making all of this possible. And that's how great the Word of God is. Now let's come to 1 Peter, the first chapter. And let's see what Peter wrote about this. And let's see how important you are to God. Because you see, we need to be there to be in the kingdom of God, to help further the plan of God in helping many, many more people obtain eternal life. But let's understand how close God is to us. Now, to be under grace means this. That means that you've had your sins forgiven, you repented, been baptized, received the Holy Spirit. And in receiving the Holy Spirit, you have direct access to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now then, God is the one who calls. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now let's see what Peter writes here concerning that God was involved at that at the very beginning. Because see, God is able to do things with his Spirit and with the seven spirits of God to help people, to call people. Now, let's just do a little sidebar over here. Remember how God called Paul when he was Saul persecuting the church? Boom! Changed him, didn't he? God determined that, didn't he? Yes, he did. Now, was God directly involved in our lives when we answered the call? When we were baptized? When we received the Holy Spirit of God? Yes, indeed. Notice, verse 1, 1 Peter, the first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect strangers, scattered in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God, the Father. Now think about that. Let that sink deeply into your mind, and let it sink deeply into our hearts, so that we can love God even more. Predetermined knowledge of God in calling us. Notice, by sanctification through the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that is something, brethren. And in keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and in understanding the plan of God, all of this is given in God's Word so that we may know, that we may be educated, that we may be trained, that we may learn the love and faith and truth and mercy of God. See? Okay. unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading, reserved in heaven for us, which Christ will bring with him when he comes. Isn't that a fantastic thing? Who are being safeguarded by the power of God, by the power of God's Spirit through faith. That's why it's so very, very important, brethren, for us to draw close to God every day in prayer and study, for us to use the washing of the water of the Word, the cleansing of our hearts and our minds and our motives, so that we have a pure heart, because those who are pure of heart will see God. That's a fantastic thing to look forward to. Now notice, verse 6, in this you yourselves greatly rejoice, and we do. However, there are some other things that we yet need to go through. In this you greatly rejoice, though for the present, if necessary, you are in distress for a little while by various trials. Notice, in order that the proving of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, because God is developing in us his character, though it is being tested by fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you see, that's going to be a fantastic time when that occurs. Whom, not having seen, you love, in whom, though at the present time you do not see him, you believe and rejoice with unspeakable joy and filled with glory, and are receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now look how important that this is. And look, you go back to the time when the church began and come down through all the centuries to our time now and everything that there is. You know, brethren, one of the things that grieves my heart all the time is the way that the churches of God have been in recent years. Now, we know it is the will of God. We know it is the will of God to test us, to try us, but also to have many different groups out there preaching the truth, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So, brethren, pray for all of us. Pray for all the churches, and that God will bring us all to repentance and greater understanding and preaching the gospel and greater power and greater effectiveness to this sick and dying world. All right, because Jesus said, this gospel will be preached in all the world, then shall the end come. So we all need to be busy about that. So we have two things we need to do: preach the gospel and to develop the character of God through the Spirit of God, okay? But notice, concerning which salvation the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to us, or come to you, have diligently searched out and intently inquired, searching into what way and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them was indicating, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and these glories that would follow. Now, notice verse 12. So think on this verse and compare it to the times that you have lightly esteemed the Word of God. Think on this. To whom it was revealed, that is to them, like it was to Daniel. Not for themselves, but to us they were ministering these things, which now have been announced to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which things the angels desire to look. Now notice how we have the inspiration of God to motivate us to do what is right, the love of God to understand that he has personally called us and chosen us. And then look at the world that we live in. We're not of the world, but we live in the world, and we must overcome the world, and we must overcome the selves. So he tells us how we are to do it and the ultimate goal of it. Verse 13, For this reason, be prepared in your minds. Be self-controlled. Be fully helping, or not helping, but hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Looking forward always to the resurrection. Looking forward always to the kingdom of God. As obedient children, do not conform yourself to the former lusts, as you did in your ignorance, but according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, you be holy because I am holy. And God will give us his Spirit and his power to be able to do that. See? Yes, indeed. Verse 17, for if you call upon the Father who judges according to each man's work without respect to persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God, knowing that you were not redeemed by corruptible things, by silver or gold, from your futile way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, blemish and without spot. Okay, and that we have our hope in God, in everything that there is, brethren. That's something. Now come back here to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. We just want to touch base here just a bit. Okay, notice. When we have the difficulties and the problems that come to us, do this. Verse 6, 1 Peter 5. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. That is the resurrection. Casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, see, knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren in the world. But have this promise, see, God cares for you. And notice this promise, verse 10. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, himself, that is, God himself, the Father, perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the power into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now come to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and we will finish here. And let's understand what God is doing, brethren. Let's understand the great calling that we have. Let's then rededicate ourselves to really yield to God, to grow and change and overcome, so that we can have the spiritual strength to endure the things that are surely going to come. And yes, they will surely come. And that we do not get caught off guard. But keep this in mind. And this is from the Father himself directly, not through any man, other than Christ as our mediator and savior and redeemer, not any minister, not any priest, not any of those things of the religions of the world, but by the grace of God directly to God the Father. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For this very reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, here's a promise. Claim this promise. Never let it slip from your mind. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And the Greek there is technon, the very children by the begettal of the Holy Spirit of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is manifested, that is Jesus Christ, we shall be like him because we shall see him exactly as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So those are the great and wonderful promises of God that he has given to us. And so he's making and fashioning us in the way that he is and preparing for us the great and wonderful job of showing all mankind through the millennium and into the last great day the great works of God, the great salvation of God. We'll see you tomorrow.